First of all, I want to pray for TK's husband, for Jerry. We went to a wedding last night that I performed, the Gibson girl, and Jerry slipped because it was raining, and the front door, there was tile everywhere, and he slipped on it and fell right down on his knees and so on. So he was just boasting about how quickly God had healed me. Thought that was wonderful. And then he slipped and fell. He did bang himself up quite badly. So I'm going to pray for him. God, we just thank you for Jerry. I thank you for his friendship. I thank you for his love of you. I thank you for his faith. And now I just ask you to heal his body, even as you've healed mine, so that nothing will ever appear. Everything is nothing is permanent. Everything is healing quickly, fast, perfectly, not only according to your healing capacity, your ability to heal the sick, but also according to your plan and purpose for our lives, that we're not just living for no reason, but we have a purpose or a calling that you've given to each one of us, including Jerry, that he finish and that he complete. And so I thank you that he will not be indisposed for long, but that he will quickly recover and give praise and glory and thanks to God for doing miraculously, marvelously, and that age is obviously not a problem for you. And so us old guys need to have a God who can heal bodies that aren't like young bodies, but that shouldn't heal quickly, but still can. So we give you praise that the same thing that happened to me, being dead, now I'm alive, I thank you that that same kind of resurrection power will be for Jerry's body and that he will recover quickly. In your blessed, holy, and wondrous name, and everyone said, amen. Okay, today I want to look at Jesus's four titles. He had four titles in the Old Testament, and these are in Hebrew. And the first, don't worry, I'm not going to fall. The first title is Wonderful Counselor. And in the Hebrew language, Wonderful Counselor. In the Hebrew language, that is Ya'atz Pele, or Pele Ya'atz. Pele Ya'atz. And the second title that he has, and these are so important, these titles, because they represent everything that Jesus is and will do while he's on the earth. And the second title is El Gabor, which is mighty or great God, or all-powerful or almighty God. Mighty God, which is El Gabor. El Gabor. And his third title is Everlasting Father. I'll explain that, how Jesus can be Father. So he's the Everlasting Father, which is Ad Av. And the last title, and the one that a lot of us know, is that he is the Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. And if there's anything the world prays for, it's probably that. They often mean just the cessation of war, but in Hebrew it's Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Sar Shalom. So these four titles are everything that refers to God, everything that applies to God's right hand. Now his right hand, this is my right hand. So everything on the right hand of God belongs to these four titles. And it's the ministry of the church. It's the domain of the church, of his right hand, redemption, salvation, perfection, restoration, deliverance, all the things that pertain to us as a people. So you could call this one true religion. This is the hand of true religion, whereas the left hand is not at all related to true religion, but it's related to his punishment of evildoers and his justice that he performs on the earth so that all men know their guilt, all men know their foolishness, living not in this kingdom, but in this kingdom on the left hand. So the whole world is here, and only a few people are here. So this kingdom is actually the key to this kingdom. The right hand is the foundation and the basis for all good government. If you don't have good government on earth, it's because you don't have the light of the world. And so God, from the beginning of the world, has had this. It isn't just with Jesus is coming. It actually was in the Old Testament from the time of Cain and Abel, and you always had two churches or two kingdoms, or those that were submitted to God and those that were not. And religion then is the key to all political, economic, and social justice in the world. There is no left-hand rule of God that will be just and good and kind unless there is the right hand. And I'm not going to explain that. Those are other scriptures we'll talk about later. But the left hand of God, this one, is totally, in other words, everything in this world. And what Lori was talking about earlier, for example, is the church, not as building or as a given set of people, but the church is God's people on earth of his right hand, reaching out with both truth and love, or faith and love. So when you reach out, that's the truth is the salt and the love is the light. And when you do it that way, the world for the first time is able to glorify God. But the problem today is that the church is not being the church. And because of that, because we're more justified than we are sanctified and glorified, and because the last one isn't there, they don't even see the first two. The only thing the world can see is our good works. If you don't have good works, that is works that are wrought by God, not works that we do, but works that God has done in us and through us so that the world may glorify. The world is the purpose of the church. The church is not here because of we're going to heaven. The church is here for the sake of the world, to witness to the world. And if we don't reach out to the world, and that means you can't do it here in church, you actually have to be a church that gathers unto God to worship and then scatters to do evangelism and to do ministry of love. So those works of love, which are indirect, they're not seen directly, they don't have say Jesus all the time, or it's not always seen. They have to see the truth through the love. They have to hear the truth in love. That's why he says in the scripture, speaking the truth in love. If you speak the truth without the love, it's not truth. And if you show the love without the truth, then it's not love. It's only love when it's speaking the truth in love, because love does not set you free. Love only it's something you appreciate. But love is part of the right hand moving into the world so that the world knows there's a God that loves them and cares about them. But the truth is the only thing that will set them free. So you have to have both evangelism and benevolence. You have to have both evangelism and benevolence. Now, I want to talk about these titles, because the first one, Pele Ya'atz, or Ya'atz Pele, is that when you say wonderful, it means that it's the work that's done, or the counsel in this case that's given, is obviously from God. And that is the prayer of my life, that whatever I say or do be built upon God's words and God's deeds, so that I don't say my own words and I don't do my own deeds. Now, I don't know how many of you are yet gearing your life that way, but that is really your death. That is your crucifixion. So that you're no longer speaking your own words or thinking your own thoughts, but you're beginning to think and say and do the things that God would do, because that's the only thing that marvels. Nothing else will cause people to marvel, is when they see you doing God's work, they marvel, and they give glory to God for it. But if you are just a normal Christian, and used in the common sense, if you're just a normal Christian, then people don't see it. They hear you're a churchgoer, perhaps, and maybe see a little bit, but they didn't really see Jesus. They didn't really hear Jesus. So the average Christian in America, at any rate, the average Christian is not that much Christ. He's more just kind of believing in something and believe that Jesus came at Christmas and died on the cross and did that for people. But the rest of his life, he just pretty much handles for himself. So I don't know how far you are along in becoming more of a Christ to your neighbor so that your neighbor actually sees Jesus in your words and in your work and in your family and in everything you do, not just that you go to church. So the first thing is that the counsel that's given to a king, or the counsel that's given, or that a king has, is related to the fact that it should be wonderful, meaning it comes from God. So wonderful counsel, ya'atz, pele, wonderful counsel is the kind of counsel or truth that is obviously from God, so that whatever Jesus would say and do, for example, one said to him, good teacher, as though his teaching were wonderful. And he said to them, why do you call me good? I'm not good. Or he didn't say he wasn't good. He just meant, why do you call me good? It's because you think I'm good. But the reason that you see the good is not because I did it. The reason you see the good is because God did it, and I just saw what he did and did it. So that's not my goodness. You're seeing God the Father's goodness. The Father himself loves you. Don't say Jesus is a lover, but God's mean. It's no. It's actually that Jesus shows forth the glory of the Father. So I didn't come in my own name. I'm not saying my own words. I've never said my own words, and I never will. Now, is that possible for you and I in this world? Can you and I say the Lord's words and do the Lord's deeds in your marriage or in your family life or in your business or whatever it is that you're occupied with, so that men see the Lord? And so when it says you see Jesus, you're really seeing the Father. Someone said once to him, well, show us the Father. He said, no, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard me, you've heard the Father. Because what I'm telling you from the right hand of God, what I'm telling you is the Father's will and purpose. Now, Jesus was not a king on the left hand. He wasn't an earthly king, although he will be someday. He will come to earth as the king. He will be called the Son of Man. But Jesus did not, even though he could today, he could take over, he could be king of the United States or king of the world or whatever. He could do that because that's who he is. But he said, I don't want to start in that kingdom. I want to start on the right hand and save people into my kingdom, and I let judgment begin in the household of God. So the first job of Jesus as king is not to be a king to this world. He's not even trying to change our government. He's not trying to change the world. That happens because we are truly growing as a church, and if you don't grow, you won't affect the world, and the world will see nothing. It won't see the salt, that is, hear the truth, nor will it see the light and give glory to the Father, because the light is in the world. Here is the light of the world. But it's in the world so that the world may glorify and marvel and say, the counsel this man brings, the words that he brings, whether he's a teacher or a counselor or what he is, the Savior, that counsel is so amazing. And here's what's amazing. Is what God wants is for none of us to bear a burden. If anybody here thinks a lot or pays attention to your feelings or just is wanting things, feel you've been cheated or feel you need more or something, you're really self-oriented. And it shows you don't have a God. You don't even know that there is a God. Because God will supply all your needs. And you don't have any psychological needs. You don't have any emotional needs. I mean, you may think you do, but that's someone lying to you. And so the whole world today is meeting people's needs, not directed by God, but just directed by their own selfishness, which masquerades often. So you have to be careful of that. But when we do the deeds of God, nobody can measure them. You don't know where it came from. All you do is marvel. When you see it, you just know that was not a human being doing that. That was God himself through a human being. And that human being was dead. That human being was not themselves. They were actually doing the will of God. Now, I believe when I fell off the roof onto my head, I wasn't aware of it, by the way. I had no knowledge of that. I don't even know how I got to the ground. I knew I was on the roof, but I don't know how I got there. Peggy thinks I blacked out, and that's quite possible. The roofers that were up there felt I tripped on one of their nails. But however it happened, I fell about 10 feet. I was up about a couple of feet higher. And I just dove right on my head. And I didn't use my hands or anything because I wasn't even aware. I just went right on my head. Now, if it had fallen on this side of the head, I think I'd be dead. Because this is where I cracked my head before, and it went all the way to the bone. I remember opening it up, and you could just see it. It's like jello or something. You could just go right through and see it. So thank God I didn't fall on that. And if I fell on this part, it might have had brain damage, which I need my brain. But I had nothing to do with it. But I fell on this side, which is my left side. And I believe an angel, and this is what I believe, I believe an angel caught me and eased me down onto the cement, and though he crushed four of my vertebrae and so on, that was a nice, wise angel that knew to crush the right ones in the neck and the right ones in the back. And, you know, so I don't have any problem. But I'll just tell you this, I've never been in real pain. I never even knew I crashed. I never felt a thing or knew about a thing. So the whole time has been fun for me. It hasn't, at all, not painful. The hospital was great. David knows, he works there. But all the nurses were awesome, and the food was good. I didn't know they had good food. It was good. Yeah, I'll take more, you know. And so it was great. And everybody took care of me. You know, it was so great. It was awesome. I told Peg all about how they did it, and so on, to encourage her. And Peg says she's actually the one that pushed me off the roof to have me at home more. And so she's had her way, and she still wants me to stay at home. And so she'll push me down again, probably. But I've never been in fear. I never was in doubt. I never had any question that I wouldn't die. I never even thought about that. Nor did I think I'd be crippled or whatever. I always felt I would just get back to my work. And I've been able to do that for the last 6 weeks. I've been able to actually study the scriptures night and day. And I get good 8, 9, 10 hours of sleep, rest during the day, and so on and so forth. So good food, good rest, and good study, and no church members. Oh, this is great. It's been great. And I thank God for all your prayers, first of all. But second of all, I thank God for all the people that filled in and preached and taught and whatever else y'all did. Thank you. What a blessing to me. And I know your prayers are what caused my resurrection from the dead. So when I did fall, Peggy saw it. She was on the ground, and she saw me just dive off. And she said something like this. She can tell you what she really said, but I'll make it up. And she said something like, "Don't let him die," or "I need him," or something along that line. And then she cried out, "Jesus, Jesus." And immediately I began, up until that moment I hadn't moved, I began to flail my arms and kind of like, "Where am I? Get away from me. Leave me alone. I've got work to do." And obviously I was out of my mind. And so I had no idea. I didn't remember going on an ambulance or getting to the hospital or being morphined up or anything. I didn't remember any of that because I had said no. I said, "Leave me alone. Just let me go home." But thank God, God is smart, smarter than I am. How many know that God is smarter than you are? So God is real smart. And it was about 12 hours later, even though I know I saw David there and I saw Marshall and I saw Pastor Z and I just saw a whole bunch of people come. I knew they were there. But I don't have any memory of anything that went on. And it's 12 hours later, then I asked, "Where am I, and why am I here, and what happened? Could somebody please explain to me why I'm here?" So I've just had a pleasant experience for the last 6 weeks, and it's been awesome. And I'm not in real pain, but I am in pain. I'm not in pain this second, but I'm in pain if I stand up for, a long period of time. The pain, pretty severe. So I have 10 fractured ribs and four vertebrae that are compressed. And apparently they uncompress something or other, but I'm feeling a lot better. Every day I feel stronger. Every day I feel better. Every day I'm feeling great, actually, today. But God wants us to realize that His right-hand kingdom is all, it's the entire agenda of the world. There will be no good government, left hand, until there's a right hand, which is light and salt and everything else. Mighty God means everything that God has preached or taught or done, He's able to do by the power or the might of God. So when he says His other name will be Mighty God, Jesus is the Mighty God. And he said, I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost, and when I do, you will have power. You'll have the power, same power that I have. So the power of Almighty God is not only in the Father, but it's also in the Son, and it's through the Spirit, particularly from the right hand, because the Spirit is given to us who are born again, not only to have wise counsel, but also to know that He's a mighty God that will absolutely do everything He said He'd ever do. So if there's anything in the Bible, the devil will never win. Not he'll win a few times and he'll lose. The devil will never win, ever, at any time. Everything the devil does has to pass muster with God. He has to ask permission. Father, may I? Father, may I do this to Job? Father, may I do this to Pastor Jim? Can I push him off the roof? And he gets permission. Yes, you may. So you could fall on your head and still live. I definitely should be dead. Definitely should at least have brain damage. When you fall right on your head, you should have brain damage. Or I at least should have a broken collar or neck or spine or something. But I don't have anything. And the lung is working fine. And my x-rays showed up within a few days after I'd left the hospital and went back. He said, it's unbelievable, but these x-rays show that all your ribs are healing fine and your spine and your lung is doing good and everything. You're doing great. So you do not need to come back and see me. That's what the doctor said. You don't have to come back and see me. He said, wow, that's pretty awesome. I think it's because I have Medicare but no supplemental payment. And so he knew he wasn't going to make a lot of money. No, that's not true. He's a great doctor. So God is good. And so we have not only wise counsel, Ya'atz Peli, but El Gabor. God is so great, so good, so mighty, so powerful that everything He wants to do, He does. If God loves you, no one can hurt you. If you're in His hand, if you're in His hand, no one can snatch you out. Now you can get out, but no one else can take you out. And God won't let you. I mean, God is not going to dump you out, like, oh, I don't want you. No, once you're in the hand of God, you're protected forever. I mean, not just for this world, but forever and ever. And I believe I wasn't done with my work. And so no matter what the devil had in mind, I believe it's good to go through death and resurrection. And I pray that for all of you, that you will all get on your roof today, fall on your head, and then resurrect. No, of course, I don't mean that. But what I do mean is that spiritually speaking, you need to realize that you're not in charge of your life. That God is in charge, and everything's going to happen just the way God wants it to, and you can agree with that. You don't have to, but I do. And the Lord had told me earlier, before the fall, you're going to do this and do that, and He'd shared things. Since then, He's shared a lot more in incredible detail, and I've had a lot of time to pray about it and to study His scripture. And one of the days, a friend of mine, Mark Balloon, came over, and we shared through the scripture about certain prophecies that God has given, which I believe He's given me understanding, and he had the same understanding, so it was very powerful. But I believe that these are the greatest days for the kingdom of God. And I believe the church is about to come into her fullest glory because God promised it. and I'll give you the teaching later, but God promised to have the right hand prevail and the left hand stay. Now remember, the left hand is not bad government, it's good government. The left hand of God, Yad Samol. Yad means hand, Samol means left. The left hand of God is completely, first of all, it's great. To have good government on earth is great. We can all testify to that. It's not good to have bad government. It's not good to have corrupt politicians and so on and so forth. It's good to have justice done and judgment against the wicked actually happen rather than let them off and let them go scot-free and so on. So that's a good thing. But it's totally dependent upon, this is great, but this is greater. And the greater hand, Yad Yamin, or Yamin, M-O-N or M, ending it, is the plural. When you have the right hand, it serves the left hand, so that the only way you can actually have sustained, everlasting, good, left-handed good government on earth, and I'll tell you this, it'll never go away. Don't think that somehow we're going to fall apart or everything's going to go to pot or something. Not true. I don't care what the news says. I don't care what they say about Egypt or whatever. I didn't believe a word of it. I believe that God will, through his right hand, not only prevail among the faithful, but he also, with his left hand, will sustain good government, and we are the reason for it. The greater serves the great. That is, the superior serves the inferior. That which is more serves that which is less. And that is because God arranged it that way, and he set up his own dominion by dividing it into his left and right hand. So here's his left hand, and here's his right hand. And the right hand is more powerful for spiritual things. And the left hand is powerful for practical things, for this world, for the kingdoms of this world, for politics and economics and social issues. But this hand needs the light of this hand, without the light and without the strength. So this title here that he has is not just for the church. A wonderful counselor is not just so that the church may have good counsel, the gospel, the truth, men are saved by faith rather than by works, and so on. But also the mighty God, that's the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We have to have the power of God operating in our lives so that there are signs and wonders, and whenever we preach, miracles take place. I know a lot of you wonder why they don't always take place in church. It's not really in the church that they're to take place. It's really as you go forth, taking the word that you've just received and then living it, miracles will happen. It's for the world. The signs and the wonders are you also can get them in the church. But the church really doesn't need them. It's the world that needs to see our love. It's the world that needs to hear our truth. It's the world that needs to see us who are glorifying God by the kind of lives we're living. So the first thing is you have to start out with the truth, wonderful counsel, and wise counsel, the wisdom of God, which shows up the foolishness of this world, and then the might or the power of God to enact that, to implement that. And then Jesus is called the everlasting Father. Why is he called the everlasting Father? I thought the Father was the Father, and I thought he was the eternal God. Because it's not talking about the same thing. When it says Jesus is the everlasting Father, ad av, it means the Father who is of us, not of the world. The everlasting Father, Father God, is over everybody. But Jesus is not yet over everybody, even though he has the title. He could do it anytime he wants, but he doesn't want to. So he's only working in the church today, right hand. He's not working in the world. Jesus is not the President of the United States, not about to become one. So you cannot make Jesus into the government or into economics or into social improvement schemes and so on. But our love does that. But that's a byproduct. That's indirect, not direct. So the gospel itself is just for us to get a hold of this gospel and then to have it kill us until we are no longer us, until we preach the truth and show up the folly of this world and live the love so that the world can have the light that they need in order to realize we need to get right with God. Because the biggest need of the world is not political or economic or social. The biggest need is to have your sins forgiven. And when it says he's the everlasting father, that what he's saying is he is the one that has made a new race of people, us, by faith, us, so that you don't labor anymore, so that you don't work anymore, so that you're not worried about falling off on your head and dying. And you just don't have any fears. You don't have any doubts. I mean, I'm not making it up like I think I won't be afraid. I'm not. Because I'm totally confident that, first of all, I've lived a full life. I don't need to live any longer. And second of all, I'm here for others. I'm not here for myself. I don't want to get anything more. I don't want to take anything. I just want to give. And when you're like that, you start with your wife, by the way. You start with your own family members. And there's where you need to die, so that you actually don't love others as they deserve to be loved. You love them as they don't deserve to be loved, but as God loves them. So the issue is not, is somebody worthy of my love? The issue is, are you? And the answer is no. So God just wants us to love others because they need it. That's all. Just if they need it, just give it to them. And so he's not only the wonderful counselor and then the mighty God who's empowered us to live that counsel, but he's the everlasting Father this kingdom will never end. This kingdom that Jesus has will never end. The church that we're part of, you will live on for all eternity. And you'll live in this world, yes, be sustained here, but this one goes on forever and ever. And it's an everlasting kingdom that can never be defeated or destroyed because you're the beloved of God. It's not a kingdom, it's a people. It has nothing to do with a king over a piece of land or territory. It has to do with people. And we are God's people. And therefore, he's the everlasting father of a race of people that are newly created, not created originally. But we're a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And that new creation is not katesis in the Greek, which means the original physical world. You're not a creature any longer, even though you still have bones and flesh, and you're reminded, as I am, that I have bones that scream at me when I turn wrong or sit wrong or when someone pokes me. You know, somebody came up last night, it's good to see you, slap me on the back. You know, so that's kind of painful. But, okay, so you still have bones and flesh, but it's not a killer. It's okay. But you are born of the Spirit. You are Spirit people, and you should live by the Spirit. If you're truly of the Spirit, you smile and say, hallelujah, thank you. You don't get upset. Does that make sense? And we had a good wedding last night, and what was really good about it was real quick. Because my back was killing me, you know, as I was standing there, all of a sudden my back I could just feel the compressing or whatever. And it was like, I'm going to go real fast. And so I just told him all this stuff, and, you know, this is how you get a happy marriage. And, you know, and I closed it down in less than a half an hour, which I usually like lots of time. But it was quick, and I'm sure y'all would appreciate that. But I'm feeling a lot better today. And so we'll have everlasting Father who has birthed us into spiritual being. And the last title, Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, you also bring peace wherever you go. Blessed are those that bring the good news. Blessed are the feet of them that bring the good tidings and so on. Because you bring peace wherever you go. And you bring, you know, peace doesn't mean no war. Peace actually means lining your spirit, lining your soul, and lining your body, and lining your family, and lining your church, and lining everything related to you in this world with God. Lining up with God perfectly. In other words, everything you say and think and do and feel and want and so on, all of it has to be lined up with God. And when you are Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, which Jesus is, he is making us now perfected. First of all, he birthed us as everlasting Father. We're now his children. But second of all, we are now under the Prince of Peace. We are bringing the same peace to this world so that they experience what it is to see someone who's lined up with God, who's peaceful and not afraid and not worried and not living by your tummy or living by your feelings or living by anything in this world, but you're completely full and satisfied. And I am. I'm really not wanting anybody to do anything. I don't want people to grow up and be like Jesus. I don't really want anything. I have everything already. Now, I want that just as for your sake, because it's a blessing if you line up with God. But I'm not concerned about it. It's not my job. My job is to deliver the truth, the pele ya'atz. That's my job. And then to make sure you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, El Gabor. And then to make sure you know that you're a child of God. You don't have to labor any longer. You don't. The new birth is, it comes after your death. That's why you're supposed to repent before you believe. Repent and believe. I think the trouble with the church today is that most Christians believe but have never repented. They never really are finished with this world. They just quickly get in through Sunday school or however they get in. And then just taught that they're Christians, and they never do get a new mind, or they never do get, you know, fully free from this world. They still have all their emotions, they have all of their thoughts, and they have all of they cultivate all those things. And God wants all that dead. He wants all that crucified so that you no longer care about yourself. You have a God that loves you. You don't have to care about anything. You don't have to care what you feel and what you think and what you want. God will take care of all your needs. How many know that my God shall supply all your needs, not some of them? So the right hand actually allows you to become a lover to the left hand, so that the left hand can hear the truth through the love and know that's what's wrong with us. You have what we don't have. We've never been perfected, but seeing you, we now know you could be perfected, because look, you are. You're free. You really are under Sar Shalom. You have been lined up with God, and it works. How many know that many Christians, even in our church, many Christians have tried it and it didn't work? You know, it's like, well, I tried believing in Jesus, and I believe, but then he never answered my prayers. Well, that's not possible. He did answer them. He said, no. And he said, later. But he didn't always say yes. That's what you meant, is you thought he would do it the way you wanted it done. How many know that he doesn't do it the way you want it done? But he will still do it in a way that's best for you, because he's your parent. He is your earthly father, but he's also your spiritual father in heaven. And he's going to do what's good for you. And you don't ever have to worry. Oh, I pray God that somebody here would say, I'm never going to worry again. I'm not going to worry, because I know my Father loves me. And I know if what happened to Pastor Jim had happened to me, it's nothing. I wouldn't even think about it, because it's not anything to be afraid of. There's no way the devil could ever kill you or hurt you or harm you or do anything unless God allowed it. And if he allowed it, it'd be because it'd be good. So if the devil did push me off the roof, that's good. That's a good thing. I don't have any problem with it, but I don't really care who pushed me. I don't care if it was a nail or if I blacked out or if it was the devil or if it was God. I don't really care. What I care about is nothing. I don't care about anything. Why? Because I'm in love. I'm totally loved by God, and I wish you all had that, because then you'd always be emotionally happy, mentally clear, and volitionally strong. You would always know, this is what I want, and this is what I'm going to do by the power of the Holy Spirit, be it God's will. And then you have no fears. You have no doubts. And the world is waiting to see such a church, such people who really are free, free at last. So this Sar Shalom, this Prince of Peace, is wanting to perfect us all in that right-handed way, so that you're completely free to serve, and you're completely free to be dead to yourself and not to worry whether you're involved politically or economically or socially or spiritually. It doesn't make any difference. I'll just do anything God says. If God wanted me president of the United States, I would be the president of the United States. I know I can do it. I know I could do it, but I don't want that. I mean, I don't seek that, and I'm certain he's not going to ask me to do it. But if he wanted me to, I would do it. Or if he said, no, wait a minute, I've changed my mind, I want you to sweep the streets, I would be happy to do it. I don't really care. I really don't. I don't care what I do. Or if he'd said, I want you in prison, which Eddie could want. That's where I belong. But, you know, praise God, I don't think that's going to happen either. I really think I'm going to finish the job he gave me to do. And so I should be. I'm just telling you, I should be. But thanks be unto God, he doesn't do what you deserve. Amen? He gives you things you do not deserve because that's just his will. And so he is Ya'atz Pele, El Gabor, Ad Av, and Sar Shalom. Those four titles are, for unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born. And the government, this government, first this government, all the government. Did you know that Jesus is Lord of both? He is Lord of lords and King of kings, not only of the house of God, but also of this world. And when the world gets judged someday, it won't be God the Father. It'll actually be the Lord Jesus judging the world. But he will also judge his own church. And in case of his own church, again, even though there's some who are not true believers, but it's mostly to reward us. The judgment goes innocent, innocent, innocent. And I know he's going to say to me, well done, good and faithful servant. And the reason that I did well is because I didn't do anything. And so if it happened, that was Jesus. And I didn't do it. And I know that. I don't take myself seriously at all. And I pray that no one here ever takes yourself seriously, because you're going to labor then. If you really think you're a great person, you're going to labor. If you really think you're smart, you'll labor. If you really think you're good, you'll labor. Oh, don't. Don't do it. You don't need to prove anything to anybody. The Lord God is in love with you just because you trusted Jesus, because you just simply became one of the members of his family, the household of God, as everlasting Father. Jesus is the Father to the church, meaning he is the first fruits of this new race of people that now exists on the earth that are spiritual. We're born again, and then we're filled with the Spirit, which means in order to be filled, you have to be emptied. So if there was something else in you, that had to go. So that you could be led of the Spirit in everything you do. And that's not for the world to come. That's for this world here. That's for your church now. It's for your family now. It's for you now in this world. You can be a mighty woman of God. You can be a mighty man of God. So I don't know. I hope this blesses you. It's so exciting to me that I really don't care if anybody hears it or believes it. I'm just doing what God told me to do, but I'm excited. I love it. And I love being alive. It's better than the other. I love being alive. It's powerful. And I thank God that there's a scripture that says, what does it say? I will live and not die. And I believe that God who was speaking to me is, you will live and not die. So that we can now declare the glory of God. And I believe that all of us here that are hearing today, have been called by God to fulfill this mission, this purpose of the right hand, of God's right hand, of this everlasting kingdom that will never end for all eternity. That you are part of that people, and Jesus fathered you into it. He brought you into it. He was the head. He was the first one in the family, as he became Son of Man, not as he became Son of God, because as Son of God, he's always been there, so it couldn't be the start of something. But as Son of Man, he's going to come to the earth, and it's all his. How many know we inherit the earth? The meek, that is those that are under authority of God, the meek shall inherit the earth. And I believe that's part of, I'm not doing it because I get that. I just believe that's one of the things, because I can serve. But the meek shall actually inherit the whole earth. And I believe that the earth is being brought to a close, and it'll soon be burned, and then everything will be gone, but we won't be here. We will be raptured out, gone before that happens. And it'll be a cleansed earth that we come back, and we will rule and reign forever and ever with Christ, seated at the right hand of not just the Father, but of the Son as his bride. And so we are the bride of Christ, just like the wedding last night. The bride was radiant, by the way, as Jenny Gibson And she was, now she's Jenny Robertson, but she was radiant. And she liked the fact that I quickened the thing up, and so that they could, you know, get the thing over with. In fact, she's always been looking forward to being a bride, and now she's a wife, and so she's really excited about that. And apparently, when she turned around, she beamed. I mean, just people said she just glowed. She was sort of like, "Yes, that's done." And they were both like that. I mean, both of them. So it was powerful. But I believe that's us. We're like that, all radiant and pure and white and so on and so forth. Don't worry about this world. Please forgive everybody that's ever hurt you or let you down or all the stupid things you did. Just forget that. That's gone. That's all the past. But live now under this kingdom, under this king, who is Peleyaatz, El Gibor, Ad-Av, Sar Shalom. Those four titles will last forever. Those four titles is all we need. That's all you need to know. If you knew those four, you would know everything. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those are the four titles of the kingdom that is everlasting. So thanks be unto God. And thank you all again for your prayers. I know that's what healed me quickly. I know that. Not just that God told me you're going to live, but I know because he had you praying, and I know you prayed for me. Thank you. It means everything because I know there's power in prayer. And when we pray, I don't think anything happens in the kingdom without our prayers. I don't think anything happens unless we actually have the power not to do it in our own strength, but to do it in the strength of the Lord by his counsel and to bring people into the kingdom. Because every time we win, Satan loses. And every time Satan loses, we win. So I just want you to know it's a zero-sum game. We don't both win, and we don't both lose. We always win. He always loses. And that's tough on him. That's hard if you want to feel sorry for somebody. You can feel sorry for the devil because he never gets his way, ever. God is so powerful and so wise and so good that no one else ever gets a chance to do anything evil or bad or wicked, even though it looks like the devil does. He just uses it. God just uses that. All the things that the devil meant for evil, God will turn to good. So when bad things happen, and I know everybody here has had pain and everybody here has had bad things happen, please just get over it quickly. Turn it over to God. God, that was bad. It wasn't you. That was from the enemy. But I don't have to worry because nothing will be taken from me. Everything that you intended will happen for me and for my those that belong to me. So any loss that you've ever suffered, that loss is not loss. God will restore it. There's no possibility that anything good will disappear. No possibility. There's no possibility the enemy will ever prevail. So I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So I will build my church. That's a promise. And the gates of hell will not. That also is a promise. I mean, Jesus, by foreknowledge, knows that. The gates of hell will never prevail. So you don't have to worry about bad guys in this world or you being bad. Some of you are bad. Some of you are bad. Don't worry about it. Just turn it over to Jesus. Jesus, I was bad, but I'm not anymore because I'm now covered by the blood and I put all my faith in you. And I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit now to let the whole world know that my sins are no longer preventing me from serving you. I don't care what I did in the past. I don't care what I thought. I don't care what I felt. I don't care anything. I know one thing. What you did is more serious than what I did. And your goodness is greater than my badness. And your wisdom is greater than my foolishness. And your whatever. Whatever it is, Jesus is taking care of it. So, I hope you're blessed. I hope you, probably next year I'm going to be teaching out of Isaiah the whole year. It's in Hebrew it's called Isiyahu. Isaiah is one of the greatest books in the Old Testament. I would say it's the greatest book, but it's one. Genesis certainly is powerful, and there's some others. But as a prophet, there's more messianic prophecies out of Isaiah than any other book. It's amazing. Although cumulatively in the first five books, there's a lot. But it's amazing how that Isaiah picks up so much. I just thought you'd be blessed. Anyway, I didn't think it at all. It's what the Holy Spirit said. I want you to preach on. So I'm going to be preaching on chapter by chapter, those 66 or whatever number it is, books. God is good. God is great. All right.